can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside we all need the same thing.
One act of kindness in public will affect everyone around you.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
And welcome to the show again, 203-333-9422. So if you want to call in right now and tell us about when a stranger was kind to you, now is the time to do it at 203-333-9422, because I think it will make somebody else feel really good to hear about it. There's a story that I want to tell you. It's about me, okay? This is about me. But it's a story that stuck with me because it was such an unusual set of facts. So you know that I used to work, maybe you know, I used to work at TWA. And maybe you know what TWA was, Trans World Airlines, the best. They used to compete with Pan Am. Anyway, TWA was the glamour airline. And I lived in the shadow of John F. Kennedy Airport, where we used to hear the planes overhead. And they used to stop us in our, they used to stop us at Lawrence High School all the time from being able to speak. That's how noisy they were. That's how close the airport was. And it was always my dream to work for the airlines one day. And when I got to college at Johns Hopkins, there was this really tall, handsome, beautiful guy named Steve Eddy. And I saw him, and I don't know how I found out that he was a skycap at JFK in the summer. But when I heard that he was, I said, Steve, can you get me a job? He worked for TWA as a skycap. I said, can you get me a job at TWA? I've always wanted to work at the airport. I live in Woodmere, just a stone's throw away. I can easily get there. And he made some phone calls and some connections. And lo and behold, at the age of, what was I, 17? I just turned 18. I was entered into a training program to be a customer service agent for Trans World Airlines. And it was one of the hardest jobs I ever had physically, because they didn't have any stools to sit on. And I was in high heels at 8-hour shifts at a time, sometimes that stretched much longer than that. And I was behind the desk, and I would be the person who would say, smoking or non-smoking? Am I dating myself or what? Smoking or non-smoking? Would you like a seat at smoking or non-smoking? And I would be the person who would haul that heavy luggage onto the belt. In those days, it was us who did that. The customer didn't put their luggage on the belt. We did. Okay? And so I would haul that heavy luggage onto the belt. I would give somebody their boarding pass from the machine. It was a Raytheon computer. It was a brand new computer system then. I would decide whether they were going to be first class or economy or whatever, put them in their seat, and then help them on their way to the gate. That was my first job. I ended up doing that job for several summers. One summer, I was a golden girl, where I wore a special uniform, and I would greet people when they would come off of the plane, and I was a VIP escort. So I escorted Johnny Carson. I escorted Maureen O'Hara. I escorted all these famous people to their next place. And sometimes when their luggage was laid on the carousel, I would spend a long time with them. And I had the most wonderful time. The most wonderful time. I remember I saw Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan after he had lost, and he was not running for president at that time. This is in the 70s. I saw Bob Hope. He came to my counter in with sparse white hair. He was already in his late 80s or early 90s, but he was very, very sharp. I mean, I met Sophia Loren. I saw Audrey Hepburn. I saw everybody. Everybody would come to TWA. In those days, nobody flew private. Everybody flew either first class or whatever, but all the celebrities flew with everybody else. And I was there during the summer of the air traffic controller strike, when Ronald Reagan had become president by then in 1980. And you'll recall one of the first things he did was he busted the Union of Air Traffic Controllers, who threatened to stop transportation because the people wouldn't meet their demands for more money. And he said, the United States is not going to be held hostage to a bunch of air traffic controllers. We're going to find people to substitute and replace them. And he busted the union. I don't think the unions were ever the same after that. During that time, the traditional scheduling of airports went out of whack. You used to never be able to land or take off past 10 p.m. at JFK. But when the air traffic controllers went on strike, as I say, everything was just completely and crazy. So I once had a shift that had me greeting international flights till 3 a.m. And in those days in TWA, if you're holding, by the way, please hold. We will get to your calls. It's a long-winded story, but I want to tell it to you anyway. In those days, and this just shows you how differently life is, the airline used to pay for your hotel if you came in late. You hearing that, Andrew? Do you hear that? If the airline was late, they took it upon themselves to give you hotel and meal vouchers because they felt it was their responsibility to get you where you're supposed to be on time. And if they couldn't make that responsibility, they would pay for your hotel and your meal. So it's 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm not exaggerating. And an 8-year-old boy comes off of the plane from Madrid by himself. Some idiot parents had decided that he could fly as an unaccompanied minor. He was 8. Across the world during an airline traffic controller strike and be met by no one on the other end because he was making a connecting flight going to California. He was 8 years old. He came off of the flight by himself. And my supervisor, in his infinite wisdom, was going to give this 8-year-old a hotel voucher. And I said, what are you talking about? He's 8 years old and he only speaks Spanish. And I spoke my broken high school Spanish at the time. I took him home with me. I took him home to Woodmere. I said, come on, you're coming with me, in my broken Spanish. I told my supervisor, look the other way. Forget about it. I'm not putting this kid at an airline motel. Are you kidding me? In Jamaica, Queens? I took him home. We made a long distance call to his parents in Madrid, and they were jabbering, ba 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 ba. I couldn't understand what they were saying. Then I got on the phone with the parent and said, don't worry, he's safe. I got him, and I will hold his hand, and I will see to it that he gets on his next flight to California, where he ultimately met his relatives on the other end. That was my act of being kind to a complete stranger, but I still remember that because I came home at, 4 in the morning, and my parents were like, what? Because I lived in Woodmere in the summers. I was going to college. And my parents were like, who is this little boy? He's very sweet. And I'm like, well, he's on his way to California. And his parents put him on the plane in the middle of a strike. All right, we're going to go to your calls now. That's mine of a kindness. I was the stranger in that particular story. Let's go to Sandy from Bridgeport. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. How are you, Lisa? What a story. Good. You had. What a story. Mine isn't as touching as yours, but... this was a few years ago. I was in what I call a little consignment store in Bridgeport. And I was shopping. I wasn't probably dressed really good. I was in my walking clothes, scarf on my head. Wasn't looking great, but that's just me. Anyway, when I get to the register, I had found some items. The lady looked at me and said, oh, your item's already paid for. I'm like, what? Who paid for them? And she pointed to the lady next to me. And the lady just, smiled and said, just pay that forward. And it was just the kind and shocking thing. So, and I actually did. I went to the next store I went to. I paid for whoever was in front of me, for their items. And honestly, from now on, I will try to pay for someone's groceries, mostly senior people, if I'm in a grocery store. So I try to pay it forward all the time. But it was such an act of kindness that I didn't expect. It just blew me away. So,
Sandy, that is such a wonderful story. I think that's an inspiring story.
It is, huh? It really is, because I still do it to this day. And this was a few years ago. I was unemployed, and but I wasn't broke. I still had, money. But she just chose to pay for my stuff. I'm like, wow, it was just so kind. So I do it now all the time when I can.
And when that happened to you, did you turn around and thank her? Did you say, no, you don't have to? What was your reaction?
Honestly, I first, my mouth just fell open. I didn't say anything because I had to make sure I'm understanding my stuff is already, like, it really shocked me at first because it never happened. So I was standing there like a little dumbfounded, I think. And then when the cashier lady finally said, you know, this is the lady, I was like, wow. And all I could do was say, thank you. And she said, she just wanted me to pay it forward. And I'm like, okay, that was it. Yeah.
It's sort of what you're saying is that the kindness was really contagious. It literally spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
That is so great. Thank you. I have to tell you, Sandy, I'm going to take that nugget with me, and I'm going to be looking out with more sensitivity when I'm online as a cashier, you know, particularly in a grocery store, particularly when people are buying food. I'm going to look at the person in front of me or behind me, and I'm going to make an assessment about whether or not that person could use a helping hand and whether or not, you know, It's no difference to me. I always feel, Sandy, like another $20, $40, $50 is never going to change my life. It just isn't. Thank God. It's just not, you know? But for someone else, it could be so life-affirming, you know? It could be so life-affirming for someone.
I'm sorry. Can I share this, Lisa? I used to work with seniors in adult day. So my heart is always for seniors. So I just ask or suggest maybe once in a while, look at a senior person because they struggle financially more than like I do, I know. So I just suggest do it to seniors too, mostly, when you see them in the store sometimes.
Thank you, Sandy.
Great call.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to Josephine from Milford. Hi, Josephine. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
My husband had Alzheimer's a few years ago without me knowing. He took my car, and he kept driving. He got lost. He was maybe 30 miles away. A young man named Mike called me, and he told me about this man that was lost. That young man waited for him, for me to get there so my husband would be safe. I never forgot him. He was around about 18 years old, and he was so thoughtful and kind. Now my husband has passed away last year, but I will always remember this young man named Mike.
Oh, Josephine. That's a beautiful story. I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's true. Yeah. You know, everybody's been so kind to me all the time. Because I took care of him for 7 years. At home. Oh. It's an awful thing, but I did it.
Yeah, and it's so hard to do because Alzheimer's, you know, one function after another starts to close up.
Yes, you're right. I know. I lived through it, and I feel sorry for people that have that now. You know, my heart goes out to them. Yeah, but what are you going to do? It's life. You have to take it and just do what you can. That's it. You know,
that must have been very frightening for you when he disappeared. That must have been very frightening for you.
Yeah, I didn't know where he was or anything like that. So I called my son-in-law. He's a policeman. And I said to him, I have this number here. This man called me. And he says, don't worry, Mom. He says, I'll take care of it. So we remember where he was. You know, the guy told us. And we drove there. And it was like a Friday, traffic everywhere. And we were late. And we thought maybe the man wouldn't wait, the young man, you know. But he did. He was so kind. I never forgot him. I'm sorry I don't have his last name or anything like that because I would write to him every time to thank him again and again. But he was so kind. You know, he was only like maybe 17 or 18 years old. He was so adorable guy, you know.
Oh.
But that's the way it goes. But
it's a good story, Josephine.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy your program very much. I listen to you every day.
Oh, thanks, Josephine.
You're very welcome.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming right up.